Let's open with hymn number 36. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity, all my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand.
How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who by thy blessed word and thy holy baptism hast mercifully cleansed all who believe from the fearful leprosy of sin, and daily dost grant us thy gracious help in all our need, we beseech thee so to enlighten our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may never forget these thy blessings, but ever live in thy fear, and trusting fully in thy grace, with thankful hearts continually praise and glorify thee, through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 14th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, the 14th through the 23rd verse. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of Galatians, verses 16 through 24. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here ends the epistle lesson. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Hallelujah. Found in the 17th chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 19th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found who returned to give glory to God, any except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O
We now confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 33. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 17th chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 19th verse. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, and he giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that when men commit horrible deeds, that God does not immediately strike them down dead. We know this because there is still so much evil in the world. And we also know this because there are still men in the world at all. If God were to carry out his justice immediately, he would have destroyed Adam and Eve before they had had opportunity to bear children. But because God does not immediately strike sinners down, men have gotten the idea that God does not care what men do, or even that he agrees with their deeds. Maybe God is not good, they think, or maybe there is no God at all. After all, besides the evil which men bring upon themselves, much evil happens to men just from the nature of the world. Disaster and disease seem indiscriminate. There are some people who are healthy and others who are sick. And so it's not surprising that some people think that life is just a random series of events and you're either lucky or you're not. We make progress and we cure some diseases, but then other ones rise up to take their place. We don't have leprosy much today, but we do have cancer. And so instead of the body being assaulted from the outside in by bacteria, too small for men to see, the body breaks down and is eaten away from the inside out by tumors. The end is the same either way. It is death. Disease and death go hand in hand. And while many diseases do not immediately strike men dead, in the process of time they kill just as surely. Does God not care that there is so much death in this world? Indeed, he cares greatly. He did not want death to come into the world. He did not will men to sin. Satan and Adam sinned by their own choice, even as God willed that all things continue to be good and holy as he created them. How this evil came about, we do not know. We know it happened. We know that God knew it would happen even though he did not will it. We know that since that time men are living with the consequences of sin. Men use the evil in the world as an excuse to believe that God does not exist or that he does not care about men. After all, how could there be diseases like leprosy or disasters like tornadoes and earthquakes if God was in control? Yet, if we're honest and fair, we recognize that God continues to bless men in spite of their evil. The seasons continue on. Day and night do not cease. The earth is fertile, and it produces abundant food, enough for everyone. God sends rain for our crops. He gives life and health to countless billions of men. The weather is often fair, and often we live in peace. There are abundant blessings to be had, and they are known by all men in one form or another.
But the greatest blessing of God came to men in Jesus Christ, his eternal Son, in human flesh. God prepared this blessing before the world was made. Because even though God did not will it, he did foresee that sin and death would come upon men. He had prepared an answer even before it took place. And that answer from the ages is Jesus. And so throughout the many generations when men believed that God was ignoring them or that he agreed with their evil, God was preparing to bring his Son into the world so that he could reverse the death that sin brought upon men and save all men from the destruction of hell. And finally, in Jesus, he had set forth to create a new heaven and a new earth where everything is perfect and righteous and filled with men and women from the former age who are forever blessed. The blessings which we get from God are endless, but he never gets the credit that he deserves. Every man truly should rejoice in the mercy of God every day and praise him for the wondrous things which he has given to men. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And as we learned in Luther's Catechism, that daily bread comes even when we don't pray for it or think about it. And it's not just our food, it's everything that supports the body, including clothing and home and money or other goods and good government and weather, peace and health, discipline, a good reputation, good neighbors, and countless other gifts to which we give hardly a thought. But sometimes the gifts of God are so obvious that it is staggering that anyone who believed in him and knew that the gift came from God could fail to give him glory. Our gospel lesson gives us one such example. Here we see Jesus, the answer to man's sickness. The lepers in our text knew of Jesus' reputation. They knew that he was a great teacher and a great healer. And therefore they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It was presumed in those days that if any man had such a disease as leprosy, that this was God's judgment against him for his sins, or perhaps even for the sins of his ancestors. These men did not even dispute this. They asked for mercy because they knew that they didn't deserve to be healed. And God loves when we come to him in that way, acknowledging that we do not deserve his help, but yet asking nonetheless, and believing that he will hear us. He delights to give us the answer to our prayers. Often, we don't even notice when he does, and we're always without excuse when we forget to praise him. We do not know why disease, disaster, poverty, or death comes upon men in any particular circumstance, and we do not know why these 10 men were lepers. We might speculate that indeed perhaps they did get what they deserved, and yet we all deserve the same. We are all equally sinners before God, and though we do not have to endure the leprosy of the flesh, even so sin is a leprosy that eats away at our souls. Yet, some people in this world definitely endure greater suffering in their flesh than other people do. In John chapter 9, we see one example where the disciples look to a man who was born blind. And they ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." That, of course, did not mean that the man was sinless, for only Jesus was sinless. But it only means that God had not struck this man blind as a punishment for sin, but so that God's glory could be shown in him, so that God could use his blindness to show his grace and mercy, not only to this man, but to all men. So it was that with these 10 lepers, Whether they brought this condition upon themselves is not a question that anyone can answer, but it is certain that God used their horrible condition to show men God's glory, the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. That glory is rarely revealed in a raw display of power. Most of the time, God demonstrates His glory to us by showing us mercy. Jesus told the 10, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And He sent them to the priests because, according to the old law, only a priest could examine a man and pronounce him free from leprosy and allow him to enter society once more. Because, you see, lepers were outcasts. They had to stay out of the cities and away from all other people. And they even had to shout down the road that they were coming so people would clear the way because the disease was so virulent. And as they asked for mercy, these men received mercy. Now, we notice that Jesus did not heal them immediately, but the healing took place along the way. Therefore, the men had at least enough faith to say, "Well, I'll do what He says." Perhaps they were not sure whether it would have any intended, have the effect that they hoped, but they went. And this explains why it is that it was necessary to turn back to praise Him. But of the 10 who were cleansed, only one returned to give glory to God. Luther said, "That is the true worship of God, to come back, to praise God with a loud voice. Of other works He has no need, but to be loved and praised by us, that He likes." The Lord of life had set a limit on the leprosy of these men. It went no further than these words, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And with that, the leprosy came to an end because Jesus had spoken. How wonderful indeed that God sets limits upon the evil that can happen in the world. Too often, we do not notice when God's word stops Satan in his tracks. God's voice is saying to the devil, "You may go this far, but no further." He does this every day, because Satan would love to strike us all with a disease like leprosy. He would love to drag us down until life is full of nothing but agony all the time, so that we might despair and curse God and die. But God doesn't let Satan have his way. He's bound by God's word, just as the leprosy could proceed no further than the word of Jesus. And so today we have crime and war and disease and every kind of evil, and yet God does not allow these things to destroy the world. He shapes it and directs its course, and even though it has been corrupted by sin, He takes the base elements of this world and He makes something wonderful. And He accomplishes incredible things. From the base material of this world, He caused Jesus to be born, the only sinless man. Jesus took part in our flesh and blood. He even endured the many kinds of suffering that we endure. He knew sickness and heartache. He knew poverty and hunger and homelessness. He came face to face with the worst imaginable evil. And here God even allowed the evil to strike Him down, to strike down His Son, when He was crucified and killed. But look how the hand of God was there at work. He used this wicked deed to bring about the salvation of the world. From death, He made life. And not just the resurrected flesh of Jesus, but life for all men. He reversed the curse that had come upon men in the Garden of Eden. And He made a way for men to escape the destruction and death that sin brought to the world. Even where great evil was at work, God was there in the midst, laughing them to scorn, turning all their wicked desires against them, and bringing to pass the most wonderful good that God ever gave to men. And so God still works among us the same way today. We are all very much like the 9 lepers who did not come back and give glory to God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are so often caught up in having and living in our blessings that we forget how it is that they came upon us. Too often we see only the evil in the world or in our lives, and we do not acknowledge how much God has kept us from harm and curtailed the wicked designs of the devil, the world, and our flesh. How wretched it is to be ungrateful or oblivious to the goodness of God, especially that which comes to us through Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us ever remember to pray, praise, and give thanks to God. Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Pray those words every day. Remember what they mean, and think then on all the good things that God has given you, and how much evil he has kept away, how much he has rescued you. And most especially remember how richly and daily he forgives all your sins, not only to you, but to all believers through Jesus his Son. And then too, you will have great reason to fall down at Jesus' feet and give glory to God all the days of your life. May God grant you such a heart by faith for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O God, Lord of hosts, by the great and living way of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we enter into thy gates of prayer with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. We thank thee for the declaration of thy glory in all of this vast creation, where all can know of thine infinite power and wisdom. We praise thee that thou hast filled the earth with life and riches, so that men endowed with great gifts of mind and hand may harvest the fruit of his toil, find joy in the birth of each day, and rest in the peace of each night. Especially we thank thee, O God, for the gift of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for his perfect revelation of thy will, for his holy example, and for his innocent suffering and death for our sins, that we through him might receive the remission of sins, strength to overcome all evil, and the gift of everlasting life. And as thy commandments are a lamp to our feet, and thy gospel pure light for our path, we thank thee for thy word and the gift of thy Holy Spirit, whereby we may read with understanding, learn with a ready mind, and receive through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures hope for time and eternity. Grant that we may ever live in the Spirit, so that led and empowered by him, we may produce the fruit, the works meet for repentance, despising the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence, and follow righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. And finally, in thine everlasting kingdom, receive the inheritance that thou hast promised by thy Son. Rule and direct thy church that it may prosper in her calling. Defend it from error and preserve it in the true faith of thy holy name. Quicken it by thy grace that it may show forth thy praises in every good work and bring to thee the sacrifices of contrition and obedience. Uphold in our land all that are in authority, that in the maintenance of law and order we may lead a quiet and peaceable life and serve thee without hindrance. Bless our homes and counsel our parents, that thy instruction might not depart from us, but be continued in the lives of our children. We pray for all who walk the stony path of affliction with sickness, suffering, or peril. Let their way be filled with light that shines more and more perfectly into a perfect day. These and all other things that we should have sought of thy mercy, grant unto us for the sake of our Lord Jesus, whoever lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn 243.
To grace my God.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It truly is meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 54. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.